ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
So we've been engaged in the monthly Sankirtan festival of unlimited prayers. And this has been going on for several weeks. We've been talking about the power of prayer and what prayers are, what kinds of prayers are made by the great devotees. And also the devotees have been meditating on Prahlad Maharaj, for whose sake Lord Narsingadeva appeared in this world. And they've been in the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, who was very much concerned with the condition of the world and giving mercy to others. There's a little bit of too much gain on this somehow. It's got a buzz. The pastime of Lord Narsingadeva is something extraordinary that Hiranyakashipu had so much determination to perform austerities that were so severe that no one can hardly imagine what he went through, standing on his tiptoes with his arms reached toward the sky. His entire being was fixed on getting power so he could dominate and control others. In the material world, of course, this is not so extraordinary because, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, icha dvesha samutena dvandva mohena bharata, that's living entities in this material world are in a state of duality, and they're filled with desire and hatred. And in the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that there's a Ishvara Bhav that comes along with a false ego of thinking I'm this body, and one creates friends and enemies in this world and tries to control in many different ways. Everyone's trying to be the big controller. But some have a bigger desire than others, and Hiranyakashipu stood on his tiptoes and performed a severe austerity for thousands and thousands of years and developed some extraordinary mystic power. In fact, his physical body had been diminished because ants had eaten away at his flesh, and as a spirit soul, he was existing within the bones of the body. And he was emanating an intense heat that was disturbing the universe. And what happens then, the demigods become concerned. There's always some concern in the material world because when someone starts to get a little more power or influence, then everyone gets a little bit concerned, isn't it? In office politics, or in any other kind of politics, everyone's always watching to make sure that everyone's okay. In fact, we can be best friends with those who are just a little below us and it looks like they're not coming up. Those are our best buddies. But when somebody starts to exhibit some prowess, then we start thinking, well, maybe not so fast, buddy. Why don't you stay down there, because my position might be taken, and this is a problem in the material world that's living entity is food for another. Hastani sahastanam aparani chatuspadam palguni tatramahatam jivo jivasya jivanam. In the animal kingdom, we see that one living being is feeding off another. And that mentality lingers even as one comes into the human form of life. And there's a struggle for power and supremacy. And the demigods, being concerned, went to Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma came to appease this Hiranyakashipu, who before Lord Brahma was so obsequious, lying down on the ground, offering his prayers, saying, oh, you are the Supreme Lord, please benedict me. And all the time he was hoping for coming to the point of getting an airtight contract, really his business, very much the opposite of Prahlad Maharaj, who later on, when Lord Narsingadeva appeared and offered him all kinds of benedictions, said, you take whatever you want, I'm Bhagavan, and I can give you anything. And Prahlad Maharaj said, I don't want anything. Similarly, we see in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, the devotees like Sridhar, Kulaveitra Sridhar, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu manifested his Mahaprakash and showed that I am Bhagavan. And he was giving opportunity for all the devotees to take a benediction. He said, Sridhar, take a benediction. Sridhar said, I don't want anything. I just want to be your servant, life after life, wherever I am. This was the mood of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who said that I don't even want liberation. I just want to be your servant. That's the saintly mentality. But the demoniac mentality is that I want an airtight contract, that I can be the controller. And he was asking Brahma that you give me the benediction that I won't die. And of course, Brahma can't give that because he's not Mukunda. Only Krishna can award that. And of course, we don't die anyway. The soul, Krishna explains, Najayate Mriyate Vakadachin, that the soul isn't born and it doesn't die. But still, being attached to the material world intensely and wanting to enjoy, Hiranyakashipu asked that, give me this power that I won't die. And he asked for benedictions using his intelligence, thinking that he would beat the system in the material world. And of course, we all know he asked, not in the day, not in the night, thinking that covered everything, forgetting about the twilight, which is neither day nor night. And he asked, not inside or outside, and thinking that covers pretty much everything. But it didn't cover the entryway to the palace, which is where he was killed. Not by any weapon, and the nails of the Supreme Personality of God and Lord Nrisimhadeva are what killed him, bifurcated him. You can't consider nails necessarily a weapon or a non-weapon. Sort of, you know, it wouldn't... Kurnoth? That's why he's on the panel here. Okay, he's confirmed, neither weapon nor... I think we can get that by the jury. And... he over and over asked for these benedictions that I can be safe. Everyone wants to preserve what they have in the material world and wrap it up. In fact, in so many ways, the demoniac mentality is pervading the world in the way people try to wrap up everything, insurance policy on everything, travel insurance, weather insurance, party insurance, car insurance, house insurance, everything insured. And then at the end, you know, it all gets taken away anyway. Mrityu sarvaharashchaham. Krishna comes, he says, it's death, and I take away everything. There's no assurance here. Deha patra kalatradeshu atmasaini sasvatsapi. Tesham pramato nidhanam pashyana pina pashyati. Shukadeva Goswami says, even though we see that we're surrounded by fallible soldiers, means whatever kind of protection I have, it'll be vanquished eventually. Still, paschanapi na paschiti, hope against hope, I try to protect my position in the material world. This is strenuous. It's called the hard struggle for existence. Very hard to maintain the status quo in the material world. Hard to get ahead also. And then once you get ahead, it's hard to keep the pace. And all the time we see people become big heroes. And They're world renowned, they're rich, and then they lose everything. And at the end of their career, it's all washed away, even their fame. And this happens in the material world. Nothing is stable here. And Krishna advises us in the Bhagavad Gita that it's not a stable world. And he says, take a look at this. Make sure that you don't place all your assets in this material world. Don't be attached to them. So Hiranyakashipu got what he thought was a perfect arrangement from Brahma. And just after getting all these benedictions, he began harassing everybody. This is also the symptom of a demon. As soon as he gets some asset, then he flaunts it and he uses it to control other people. And that's what Hiranyakashipu did throughout the universe. He terrorized the universe, one of the chapters in the Bhagavatam. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe, headline. You look around the world too, little Hiranyakashipu is everywhere. You can see. And you know, such and such is terrorizing the citizens. It goes throughout history. So many people terrorized. Stalin apparently murdered millions of people, terrorized his countrymen, and Hitler and who? Mussolini? Saddam Hussein? Okay, George Bush, for that matter. Just to be fair. In any case, there's a way in which, given power, given some influence, then I might think about misusing it. Very dangerous. Therefore, devotees keep themselves in a poverty-stricken condition, and they think of themselves as very lowly, and remember that I'm not the controller. Janmaishvarya Shutta Shibir, Edamana Mada Puman Naivarhat Yavidatum Bai, Twam Akinchana Gochara. In this verse, Queen Kunti says that devotees, they consider themselves devoid of any kind of asset because they see it's all coming from Krishna. It's borrowed plumes, as Prabhupada says in the Bhagavatam, that it can be taken away at any minute, anything, any power or influence that I have, it's coming from Krishna. So when Hiranyakashipu terrorized the universe, even the great demigods were under his control. This is how much power he had. The only three that weren't under his control, Brahma, Shiva, Vishnu. And he had so much influence over the universe at the time that even Narada Muni was spending a little time with Hiranyakashipu. Which is interesting because he's a pure devotee, he travels wherever he wants. But I found it interesting because even if one is situated in the process of pure devotional service, there may be compromised situations. We might find ourselves in a situation that's not ideal. You see it with the Pandavas also, pure devotees. But even Narada Muni mentions in the Bhagavatam that isn't it amazing that they went through so much? So, a lesson we can take, we shouldn't expect that just because we're practicing devotional service that the material world won't disturb us. Or that when Krishna says, I carry what you lack and preserve what you have, it doesn't mean that he's going to make your material life perfect. So, he had a son. And this is another part of the demoniac mentality, when a person who has material aspirations and attachment to the material world has a son, he begins to think, I want him to be just like me. In fact, Prabhupada points this out, that sometimes a man will go through a very troublesome life. He goes through kindergarten, which is troublesome. Nobody likes kindergarten, at least I didn't. You have to go away from home and finger paint and all that stuff. And then you got first grade and through 12, all the social adjustment and how do you fit in and all these kinds of things. Does this sound familiar or is it just me? And then that's why I quit school. Smartest thing I ever did. But it's a hard struggle, and then one gets a job. If you can find the job somewhere and you have to work very hard to get ahead, and so oftentimes people, there's depression, there's ups and downs and great struggle, and then somebody has a son. Son wants to become a devotee. And the father says, no, 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 don't do that. Do like I did. Become like me. Go through the hard struggle stoically like I went through and suffer like I suffered. So this was the mentality of Hiranyakashipu. He wanted his son to become educated in the materialistic science. He sent him off to the best business school there was to get an MBA and hoped that he would become expert in all of these political sciences and business and so forth. And the story of Prahlad Maharaj is that while he was within the womb of his mother, Narada Muni, recognizing that there was a special soul within that womb, rescued his mother from Indra and the other demigods who had kidnapped her. Because the demigods, seeing how powerful Hiranyakashipu was, reasoned that if his son were born, he would be even more powerful and then there would be even more havoc in the universe. Therefore, they kidnapped his wife, Hiranyakashipu's wife, and they were going to wait till the child was born and then kill it, just to save the universe. Any more trouble. But in the interim, as they were taking her away, Narada Muni came along and said, stop, you can't do that. And they said, why not? There's a demon here. And he said, no, it's not a demon, it's a devotee. And they accepted. And Prabhupada mentions there that this is the symptom of the divine mentality. They accept the authority, like Narada Muni, that there's a divine person there. So Narada Muni took personal care of Hiranyakashipu's wife because Prahlad was in the womb. And this is also interesting. How much care a devotee will take to help somebody along in Krishna consciousness. I mean, he took this woman to his ashram. He's a brahmachari. And he had Hiranyakashipu's wife at his ashram, and he was taking care of her. And all the while he was giving her instruction, actually he was speaking to Prahlad within the womb. Kayadhu. She was so much in anxiety that she could barely listen to the instruction. A precarious situation for her. But Prahlad there within the womb was listening to everything. But I find this very instructive. How much it takes to help one person along in Krishna consciousness. Personal care. We were just in Toronto, Canada, over last weekend. And all the devotees went out on Sankirtan together. We were on the street. And we were meeting one person after another. Personal contact, taking time with people. Everyone has their own agenda and plan in life and certain kind of mentality. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed afterwards, I was thinking of all the different kinds of people that we met one-on-one, and we spent time with them to introduce them to Krishna consciousness, ask them to take a Krishna conscious literature and chant Hare Krishna, made friends and so forth, and take some time to do that. And I was talking to some of the devotees afterwards about what it takes from the time you meet one person to that person actually becoming fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, and what to speak of going the distance in life. Once in Australia, Charu, the inimitable Charu Das, as a disciple of Srila Prabhupada, happened to have a moment alone with Srila Prabhupada, and he asked him, how long does it take chanting Hare Krishna for the heart to change and the desires, material desires to go away and to become pure from chanting Hare Krishna? And he said, Prabhupada thought about it for a couple of minutes, and then he said, 40 years. It's good to have a number, right? And so the person who passed this information along was Kalakanta Prabhu. And he was saying, my idea of a Varnashram Dharma is whatever it takes to keep somebody steady in Krishna consciousness for at least 40 years. Because then they have a chance, actually. But what does it take for one person to actually make it in Krishna consciousness? And you can see that this is Narada Muni's concern. One-on-one, taking time with the wife of Hiranyakashipu, preaching to Prahlad in the womb. It might seem like a long shot to someone else. That you're preaching to the kid in the womb? What effect is this going to have? But it had a huge effect. First of all, Narada Muni's preaching is pure, and the vibration that comes from a pure soul has powerful effect. It changes the heart. Satam prasangam mama viri sambido bhavanti hrit karna rasayana kata. The Bhagavatam describes, Kapila Dev describes how the words, the vibration of a pure devotee, it changes the heart. It can actually affect us in that way to bring us to Krishna consciousness and elevate us. So as it turns out, Prahlad Maharaj was a great devotee, and he became very much attached to his spiritual master, Narada, from hearing from him in the womb. Later on in his prayers, in several places, he mentions his spiritual master and says, how can I leave my spiritual master? That I just want to be a servant of my spiritual master. Here he is, the supreme personality of God. It appeared personally to protect Prahlad and to say, what can I do for you in front of all the demigods, in front of the whole universe? And Prahlad's only prayer was, I just want to be a servant of my spiritual master. And in the purports, Srila Prabhupada mentions how when you become the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, you're more pleasing. This is more pleasing service to the Supreme Lord. And if you come directly, it's a kind of, it's too abrupt. It's not accepted by Krishna. He accepts when you have the mentality, I'm the servant of the servant of the servant. The prayers by Prahlad Maharaj show us the proper etiquette, how to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prahlad was such a saintly boy. He was sent off to school with Shanda and Amarka, who were the sons of Shukracharya, and they gave him the MBA training, the whole package. And then they brought him back to Hiranyakashipu, because the father wants to know, how's my son doing in school, right? And so, my dear Prahlad, what's the best thing you learned? And Prahlad said that people who are in the dark well of material household life can never understand Krishna consciousness. And his father was aghast. He said, what are you talking about? And he called the teachers and said, what did you teach him? What kind of nonsense are you teaching in this school? And they said, not us. We didn't do it. It's hard to understand where Prahlad got this. He got it in the womb. And so they send him back for more training. And the second time he came back, and Hiranyakashipu asked again, so what did you learn this time? And he said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakyam Atmanivedanam, all the processes of devotional service. And now Hiranyakashipu is becoming furious. And again he chastises the teachers, and again they say, that's not us, there's nobody here. And they go back and they try to teach him more. Meanwhile, at school, Prahlad's teaching all his playmates that you should become Krishna conscious. He tells them, although they were 5 years old, Komarat acharit prakno dharmam bhagavatam iha drulabam manasam janma tadapya dhruvam artadam. He says, you should start your practice of Krishna consciousness when you're young. Don't wait till you're old. Sometimes people think that I'll wait until later, some other day I'll do this. But we don't have that. We don't have that luxury. We're like kamala dala jala jivana talamala, like a little bead of water on a lotus leaf. It can slide off at any moment, and we don't know. We can be lost. We have to cultivate from the very beginning. We have to develop spiritual strength. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, prayana kale manasachalena bhaktya yukto yoga balena chayava bruvor madhye pranamavesha samyak satam param purushum upaiti divyam, that at the time of death you have to have yoga bala, you have to have some strength. And in the purport, Prabhupada says that you have to have practiced throughout your lifetime some kind of yoga. Prabhupada said, drops a day wear the stone away. Some kind of a regulated process of connecting yourself to the Supreme Personality of Godhead every day. You have to become accustomed to it. Is there supervision? Or is it Kumbh Mela outside? It's okay? Okay. So Prahlad told his friends, take to Krishna consciousness. Now he said, look at it this way. If you look at time management, people are wasting their whole life. You barely get even a moment for Krishna consciousness. Because first of all, he said, most of your life is wasted in sleeping. And then if you look at the different phases of your life, when you're a little baby, all you want to do is eat and sleep. And then when you become a child, you want to run wild and play. And then when you become a young adult, then you become enamored of the opposite sex. And then after that, you have to go to Home Depot. That's a fact. You got to go to Home Depot and you got to work hard to pay for all the bills and everything like that. Barely have any time. Prabhupada said when he went out to distribute Krishna consciousness in Delhi, chronic disease of modern man, no time. Busy, busy, busy. Have a look at this. Please take Krishna consciousness. Sorry, no time. And then when one becomes old, even if you have the best laid plans and you think when I get old, then I'll really get into Krishna consciousness. But when the body falls apart, the mind falls apart, it's very difficult. You simply try to maintain, try to hold yourself together so that you can eat and walk around and sleep. And oftentimes you become dependent on your children. I saw when we were traveling just recently, Nirkul and I, there was a young woman who was taking care of her two elderly parents. And her mother had a severe case of Alzheimer's. And they were on the plane going on and off, and I saw how the child had become the parent for these for her parents now that they had grown old. No chance then, very difficult. So Prahlad said, take advantage while you can. He gave so many valuable instructions. And for a little boy, they're very intense, actually. He's really speaking about asanga shastrena dridhena chitva, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, cut down the tree of material life. Don't hang around here and think that I'll adjust or later on I'll do it. But he was very heavy about saying the material world's a temporary place. Don't get entangled here. Sobering advice. And so, finally, when Hiranyakashipu realized that Prahlad was incorrigible, he became very angry at him, and he said, you've sided with the enemy. And this is the mentality of a person who has a vested interest in the material world. He chooses sides, says, these are my friends, these are my enemies. And he had held an extreme grudge against Vishnu for killing his brother Hiranyaka. And now he saw that Prahlad was, the way he reasoned, Prahlad siding with Vishnu, my enemy. And he said, so done with this. If you have a diseased limb, you should cut it off. So he said, now I'm going to kill him. So he tried to kill his son. But it wasn't possible because Vishnu protected him. And there are all kinds of ways described in the Bhagavatam, blood-curdling, you know, description of how he tried to kill his own son by poison, by drowning, by throwing him off a cliff. And in all cases, Prahlad Maharaj was protected by Vishnu. And then Hiranyakashipu became very afraid of his son. And his position of power began to falter. He was thinking that there's something more powerful than me. And this is the nagging feeling of everyone in the material world. Although I go on trying to adjust here, and I may think that I'm the controller and so forth, I always feel uncomfortable in the material world, and we always will, until Jeev Krishna Das A. Bishwash Korleto Ardukonai, until I just surrender and say I'm a servant of Krishna. All other positions are precarious and uncomfortable. And there's a story, The Princess and the Pea, that we grew up with, where the princess was estranged from the kingdom, and then they were trying to find the real princess. There were a lot of candidates who came forward and said, I'm the princess, I'm the princess. Maybe I'm telling it wrong, but it'll work in the end anyway. So that finally they decided a test to find out the real princess. So they piled up mattresses, and underneath the mattresses they put one hard pea. And then they asked the princesses to sleep on the mattress without telling him what the test was. And all the false princesses, they had a great night's sleep. But the real princess was tossing and turning all night long. And then and they said, how was your sleep? So, I couldn't sleep. There was some little hard thing on me. Idea was that her body was so delicate that she couldn't maintain that sleep because the pee was disturbing, even under seven mattresses or something. And so we're very delicate. The soul is the most subtle. You consider how subtle is the mind, the intelligence. The soul is sentient. It means it's sensitive to everything, to all. And this is we're a feeling entity. We have deep, intense feelings, and we're very sensitive. And in the material world, we're victimized by the material energy, and our senses become blunted, and we're abused over and over again by this environment. And so the only solution is to surrender to Krishna. And Prahlad was completely surrendered to the Lord. And when Hiranyakashipu asked him, where is your Lord to protect you now? And he personally was coming to kill him with his sword. Then Nrisingadev, who is everywhere, he's within every atom, burst forth from the pillar and had a duel with Hiranyakashipu. He played with him a little bit first, which is also, there's an interesting lesson in this that Prabhupada mentions, that while Hiranyakashipu and Lord Nrisingadev were fighting, of course the demigods were all watching, because they wanted to see an end to this trouble in the universe so they could go back to the status quo. And at one point, when fighting with Hiranyakashipu, Nrisingadeva grabbed him, and then Hiranyakashipu slipped away. And there was a gasp from the demigods. It was especially fearsome because not only they thought, well, maybe he will lose. Nrisingadeva might lose now. And then also they were thinking that we're watching. And already we were being persecuted by now what might happen. An interesting contrast, because Prahlad Maharaj had no fear the whole time. And the reason? He had no vested interest in the material world. Our only connection to the material world, according to the Vedas, asango hyayam purusha, we have nothing to do with this world. Nothing to see here, nothing to do. But our only connection to this material world is our attachment to it. We have various attachments. Take those away, there's nothing to see here, nothing to do. Prahlad Maharaj had nothing to do except the service of Krishna. And the demigods, they had some vested interest in the material world, so they were very fearful of the whole situation. That's why we become fearful, bhayam dvitiya, because we think that we have a separate interest from the Lord. If my interest is the same as the Lord's, then I have nothing to worry about. So Prahlad had nothing to worry about. So eventually in the fight, as we know, Lord Nrisingadeva killed Hiranyakashipu. And he maintained all the benedictions given by Lord Brahma, because he didn't kill him inside or outside. It was in the doorway. He didn't use weapons. It was the nails. It wasn't on day. It wasn't during the day or the night. It was during the twilight. And so there was this whole list of fine print in the contract. But Krishna is so expert. He knows everything. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjuna bhavishani chabutani mamtu vena kashtana. He knows past, present, future. He knows all the intricacies of the world. He can work everything out. It's a much better idea just to surrender to Krishna. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, just surrender it to me, I'll protect you. That's the best program. That's Pooja was saying that after the play. Very nice presentation. Don't try to stopgap everything and figure out all the grahas. I'll get rid of this influence and I'll get rid of that influence. Just surrender. Just give up. That's the only hope, really. And so, Lord Nrisingadeva bifurcated the chest of Hiranyakashipu. He split open his chest. He pulled out his entrails. He killed him. He hung the entrails around his neck. And then all the demigods came forward. And they were trying to appease him. He was so angry that everyone was afraid. All the demigods were afraid. And the elephants in the world were running away all over the universe because of his roaring sound. It was very fearsome. And even after offering prayers, Lord Nrisingadeva was not appeased by all the demigods. They came and offered their best prayers in Sanskrit language. They're all in the mode of goodness. And then they gave up and they pushed Prahlad forward. And they said, he came for you, you try. And Srila Prabhupada says, this is like pushing a five-year-old child into the cage of a lion. So Prahlad came forward. You can imagine, a little five-year-old boy, and this gigantic form of the Lord, even Lakshmi Devi couldn't recognize him. He'd never seen anything like this. I'm not even sure. Is that my husband or not? And so Prahlad starts offering prayers. Brahmadaya suragunam uniyota siddha sattvai katana katayo vachasam pravahe nararitum purugunar aruna pipipru kim toshtumarhati same haru ugrajate. He says, now all these demigods have come forward and they offered the perfect prayers, perfect Sanskrit language. They're in the mode of goodness. But I'm a demon, Ugrajate. I'm born in a demoniac family. Therefore, what can I say? Then he thought, Manye dana bidana rupa tapasu tau just teja pravava balapura shabudi yoga. Narada naihi bhavanti parasipungso bhaktya tutosha bhagavanga jayutapaya. He said, I think that even if you have all of the best material assets, you're wealthy, you're strong, you're beautiful, you're learned, everything, that won't please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You can't please the Lord like that. Doesn't matter about your material position. And then he remembered Gajendra, the king of the elephants. And he said, Gajendra was an elephant. He was in a helpless situation, but he had bhakti. Bhaktyatutosha bhagavan gajayutapaya. He pleased the Lord because he had this simple devotion. So then Prahlad Maharaj noted that even if one becomes a Brahmin, is born as a Brahmin and has all the Brahminical qualifications, but he doesn't have any bhakti and he doesn't believe in the Supreme Personality of God, that Brahmin can't purify even himself. But someone, if they're a dog eater, means they come from the lowest class background and they have a little bit of bhakti, they can not only purify themselves but also their whole family. And in the purport, Prabhupada mentions about how devotees in our Krishna consciousness movement have purified their whole family just by their practice of devotional service, as proof he gives. And then Prahlad Maharaj says that when a devotee offers something to the Lord, it's not for the Lord's benefit, because the Lord is nijalabhapurno. He's complete in himself. He doesn't need anything from anyone else. But it's for the benefit of the person who offers to him. And he gives the example that if you decorate your face, then you look in the mirror, then the reflection is also decorated. So the example is like this. We're part and parcel of Krishna. And Krishna is the soul of our soul. Atmanam akhilatmanam means he's the source of our very existence, like the root of the tree. And if you satisfy Krishna, then automatically you'll become satisfied. And this is the great science of Krishna consciousness. Once somebody understands this, then they become very determined in Krishna consciousness, because ultimately everyone's self-interested. We're just misplaced what our real self is, or what our real self-interest is. And therefore, I'm off-center. I'm working for something. I'm putting money in the wrong bank account. It's a waste. We used to have this play where the person was collecting all this money, and then he would take it and he put it in the wrong bank account, one number wrong. And at the end of his life, he goes back to collect all the money. And they say, sir, you're broke. You don't have anything. Nobody put anything in. And then, of course, he put the money in the wrong bank account. So in the material world, everyone's depositing all their energy, all their wealth, all their interest, everything in the wrong bank account. So Krishna consciousness means to realign, just understand that your real interest is in serving Krishna. And then just as a materialistic person becomes greedy to make money, doesn't have any time for anything else, similarly a devotee, when he or she understands that my real interest is in serving Krishna, becomes just as greedy and similarly has no time for anything else. Because realizes my interest is in serving Krishna, not in wasting time anywhere else. This is a great revelation. And the devotee feels satisfied. When the Lord's satisfied, we feel satisfied. When you do yajna, that is, when you do, your activity is dedicated to Krishna, then we become satisfied. And not otherwise. There's no other way to become satisfied. And then finally, Prahlad Maharaj says, so now my conclusion is, that anyone from any position, if you're simply sincere, if you offer prayers to the Lord with sincere feeling, he'll accept it. And therefore, he encourages everyone. He encourages all of us. He says, offer sincere prayers to the Lord. He concludes like this. And then he begins his prayers in earnest to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Nrisimhadev. And those prayers are so rich with the Vaishnava Siddhanta. You can study them over and over again. The one point I'll just mention is what Srila Prabhupada gravitated to so much and appreciated and expressed out of the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, where Prahlad Maharaj says, I'm not interested in my own deliverance. Some people, they go prayena deva muniya savimukti kama. They go off to the forest and they perform austerities for their own benefit. And Prahlad Maharaj says, these may not be successful because there's some false ego involved. It's just for myself. He says, in the mood of the preacher, he says that, but I'm interested in living in the big towns where there's lots of people. Forget the forest. I want to live where all the people are. And in that situation, I want to relieve their burden of Maya. They're carrying around this heavy burden. I want to see that each one of them becomes relieved of that burden by giving them Krishna consciousness. And this was the mood of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Move to the city, start a youth hostel, get involved with society, and inject Krishna consciousness for the benefit of the people. That's the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We are following the mood of Prahlad Maharaj and being passed down to us through our great acharyas, the same mood. So then finally we see Prahlad was tested by Lord Nrsingadev, who offered him all kinds of benedictions, said, take something, and Prahlad said, I'm not a vanik. I am not a merchant. I'm not serving you for something in return. I don't want anything. And this is the basic platform from which one can grow in Krishna consciousness, if one has this mood of Prahlad Maharaj, that service for service, then we can become satisfied. Savai pumsam paro dharmo yato bhakti radhok sije. Suta Goswami says that only devotional service that's unmotivated and uninterrupted can completely satisfy the self. So these pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj were cherished by the gopis. Someone asked me the other day, why would the gopis be interested? They're in Madhurya Ras, and this is about something completely different. But actually, the gopis appreciated the devotion of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the mood of devotees who are highly situated. They appreciate all the sacrifices of all the devotees. In fact, in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, when Narada Muni goes to various devotees and say, who is getting the most mercy? Every one of them says, I'm not getting anything, and points to the next person. Finally, goes all the way to the gopis, and they say, we're nothing. Look at all those other devotees. They're performing so much service. And so Prahlad is famous there. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, before he had his Antilila, he constantly heard the pastimes of Prahlad Maharaj. And he was in this Acharya Lila, teaching how one should be, how one should live one's life, the mentality one should have in order to make advancement in devotional service, showing by example Prahlad Maharaj. He's the gold standard in devotional service, desireless, service for service. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur told his disciples, you should hear this pastime 108 times. And then, of course, we see Srila Prabhupada over and over again. The commentary, so many classes that he gave about Prahlad Maharaj over and over again. And now we're going to hear a few words from Satyadev Prabhu, who just moved back a row, who's just back from Japan, from the mood of Prahlad Maharaj, traveling around the world. Now, Tokyo is the biggest, is it biggest city in the world? Yes. Biggest, yes? Tennessee? Nashville? Tokyo is one of the biggest cities in the world, and Satyadev Prabhu had recently come back from there, where he was preaching Krishna consciousness. And if you'll help me in bringing him up here with a big round of applause. Haribo!
Thank you very much, Vaisheshika Prabhu, and all the...
We're going to be making the offering in a few minutes, so... Yeah, after this. So... Okay, we'll go... So we're going to have to maybe go a little bit over. Okay.
I'm sure I could speak for 30 seconds. Well, it's so nice to be back here. This is my first time to the new temple, officially, since it's been open. And it's nice to see all the devotees here. And it's a real oasis or a place of light in the darkness. One thing I can assure you, after being in Tokyo, I traveled a lot around Japan this time. And one thing I noted was that human suffering is the same everywhere. Everyone is suffering the same anxieties, and when those who are suffering, at least when they can admit it, they feel hopeless, you know, and isolated, and for some reason, I don't know what it was, but this trip, I met a lot of people that didn't normally come to the temple. They just kind of started showing up there, and I liked your point about taking personal time with people, and I spent a lot of time speaking to people one-on-one, and I saw that you know, the suffering is the same everywhere. People have the same basic anxieties and disappointments, you know, after starting as a youth and then working hard and then having a family. Our expectations are always, you know, maybe because of Hollywood and Bollywood. We enter into life with so many great expectations. But because ultimately we don't belong here, we're in an incompatible situation, being that we're eternal beings and everything here is constantly changing. Our expectations can't be fulfilled. And when someone begins to realize that, but they don't have the teachings and the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, and especially they don't have the association of those who have seen through the illusion and are actually becoming happy. Because you know, miserable people can commiserate with each other, and still there's no hope, there's no light. But if we actually meet somebody who's awakened out of the illusion, and then they can show us the way out and give us hope. And that verse, satam prasangam mama virya samvedo, when we have the great fortune of being the association of someone who has seen through the illusion and is actually becoming happy, realizing their relationship with the Supreme Lord, then that person can get great hope. Of course, it's a long road, and we all have to walk the walk ourselves. But when we meet someone who can inspire us, maybe until that point we had no idea there was a way out. You know? But once, you know, it's like that story that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tells about the astrologer and the young man who thought he was very poor, and he meets the astrologer, and the astrologer tells him that actually you think you're poor, but your father was very rich and he left you a great inheritance. All you have to do is go get it. And so it's like that. So many people are just looking for the light, for the way out, and we just have to be there at the right time to show them the way by our own example, you know, using our own life, examples in our own life, relating our own sufferings and how this knowledge of Krishna consciousness has freed us from the same suffering that we were feeling. And so it was a really encouraging trip, because I saw devotees that appeared to be suffering for a long time, who have sort of now, maybe they've hit the 40-year mark, I don't know. They've come up to 40 years of chanting now, and they're starting to feel light and see the light at the end of the tunnel. And people that are just kind of in the middle of that tunnel and wondering if there's ever any end, they're running into these types of devotees. So it's very inspiring to hear about Prahlad Maharaj and how he was feeling for the sufferings of others, and that was what was motivating him to stay in this material world and serve the Lord was just so that he could help others, because he was already happy. He was already fulfilled within himself. And so I'm happy to be here in your association. So many so many lots of lights here lighting up the darkness. And so I encourage you all to spend personal time with people that you know that may come to you in their dark hour, and you know, just share with them your own experience, and they'll become attracted to this teaching and becoming happy themselves. So I'm great to be back, glad to be back, and I'll be here for a few months, probably more than a few months, maybe till October, November or so.
Colonel, do you want to say a few words?
Hare Krishna. So it's very nice to be here in the temple, the new temple. And there's still a lot more work to be done. I'm sure Jagarini can tell you about all the different things that are going to be manifest for the new temple. But I wanted to say we have a distinguished visitor from the Consul General's Office of India. And I'm sorry, Okay, this is the consul for the consulate in San Francisco, and his name is Devavrat Chattopadhyay, and please welcome him. Can you come and say something? Just
Hare Krishna to all of you. Thank you. I feel myself very honored to be invited, and I want to thank all of you, and my heartfelt gratitude to the administration and management of the new ISKCON temple in Mountain View. And on behalf of the consulate and on behalf of the respected Consul General, Mr. N. Panthasarathy, I would like to thank you once again.
So as Prahlad Maharaj taught us to follow in the footsteps of the great souls for success in life, we are doing the same here at ISV. We are working under the protection and guidance of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is the owner of all these ISKCON properties, the controller of all of them. We simply are here to fulfill His will. And in doing so, one has great success, because one doesn't have to be a great personality, but if one follows a great personality, then one is eligible for the same result that the great personality has received. So this is what our ISKCON movement is. Now, this brings us to our mission here at ISV, which stands for International Society for Krishna Consciousness at Silicon Valley, or Individual, Spontaneous, and Voluntary Service, which is rendered by the members of our society. And we have a mission to serve all living beings by widely spreading the holy name. According to the Shastra, this is the greatest kind of benefit that one can bring to someone because it touches the soul and gives one the spiritual capital to come out of the material world and be free from the entire business of birth, death, old age, and disease. And so to that end, every month we hold a monthly Sankirtan festival. That is, devotees come together and plan and decide how to work together on all fronts at various locations, Stanford University, where there's a robust preaching program going on. There's a children's program here at ISV. There are programs for education, including Bhakti Shastri, led by Srivas Pandit Prabhu, where devotees are being systematically trained through a curriculum to learn all the books. There's training in how to perform deity worship. And myriad programs here at ISV, we're all working together for this one result, to follow in the footsteps of our founder, Acharya, and to give others the opportunity to hear about Krishna consciousness, to take to the process of spiritual life, as Satyadev Prabhu so compassionately presented this the importance of this cause. So now, after, you might see a poster right up against the window there, you can hold that up. This festival, this current festival, is finishing today, the monthly Sankirtan Festival of Sincere Prayers, where devotees went out all over the city, all over the area here to distribute Krishna consciousness, and we're going to have an offering to Srila Prabhupada, giving the results of this monthly Sankirtan festival. Who's reading it tonight? Malini Mataji, who is the co-Sankirtan leader at ISV. No small post in the scheme of ISKCON these days. We'll stand up around Srila Prabhupada, also giving him access to see the deities. And then we'll have complete pin drop silence. Not even a breath will be heard. And then she'll read out the results. And then just after that, we're going to have an artik ceremony. And just after that, we're going to serve prasadam to everybody in San Mateo County. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Go pray manande adibo.
Nacharyar marman. Nacharyar marman. Nacharyar marman. Nacharyar marman. Hey! Nacharyar marman. Nacharyar marman. Nacharyar marman. Nacharyar marman.